Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So we're dealing with cautious tit salvaging today. Truman and Salve are often amongst those partial that are combined, but this is a leap year. This is a leap year, and therefore it's a separate partial this week, this year, tit salvaging. So we'll do the first piece is from the Or Gedaliahu of Gedaliah Shore. And it's actually on the first pasuk of the parsha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe. And strangely enough, what's missing are those familiar words, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Just says, Ve'ata tetzaveh. That's how the parsha opens up. I don't have it down here, but that's how the Torah parsha opens up. Ve'ata tetzaveh. You command. So, why is Moshe's name not mentioned here? In fact, it's the only parsha since we were introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu in the cradle, in the Nile. He is mentioned in every parsha in the Torah up until now, and continuing on in the Chumash, except for a few parshiot where really it's his, in Dvorim, these are his speeches, his lessons, so his name is not mentioned. But until now, every parsha has Moshe's name mentioned. Why is it not mentioned here? Oh, so the answer is, because in next week's parsha, in Ki Tisa, he defends Bnei Yisrael, after the Chet HaEgel, after the sin of the golden calf, he pleads to Hashem not to destroy Am Yisrael, and he says, what you just quoted, if you don't forgive the Jewish people, then take me out of your book. Right? So, first of all, this was a kind of conditional scenario. Bnei Yisrael was forgiven. So why is his name still out of the Sefer? So the Chazal tell us, the rabbis tell us, that when a tzaddik or a Talmid Chacham makes a curse, there is always a residue that remains. So there had to be some residue of that statement, Machenina, and that was in our Parsha. So you can ask, why is it next week's Parsha that happened, and this week's Parsha's name is taken out? But really, we know that Ein Mukdam U'Mu'uchar B'Torah. The Torah doesn't necessarily go chronologically. And the event of next week's Parsha, the Maisa HaEgel, the golden calf, preceded the building of the Mishkan. The building of the Mishkan is viewed as a kind of tikkun, a kind of repair of the sin of the golden calf. So it's chronologically, it's not in order, but that's that's the way it happened. So here's the real question that we're going to deal with. I'm going to tell you this outside, and then we'll read it inside. We'll make it clearer. What did he do that's so wrong that was deserving of punishment? He put his life on the line in this world and the next world. It was a classic case of Mesiras Nefesh, of Mesirat HaGuf, Mesirat HaNefesh. He said to the Rebbe Shalom, take me out of the Torah, right? In order to save the Jewish people, they should be forgiven. What's wrong with that? That's not deserving of punishment. So the answer that is provided here, which is absolutely brilliant, is a totally different look at this moment. In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu was praised for what he did. And removing his name was not a punishment, it was an act of endearment. How so? You know that people refer to other people, Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, Rabbi So-and-so, right? So, but when you're intimately close to that person, you drop the title and go to the name. But a name is something that separates two people. It's the intimacy is still, there's a curtain, because every name represents a person's individuality. Everyone has a name, that's an individuality that a person has. If there's a real close endearment, it's a no-name relationship. It's me and you. So you go from a title to a first name, to a last name, to a first name, and then the ultimate relationship is me and you. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying here. Because of what you did, because you defended Klal Yisrael and demanded that I forgive them, I am rewarding you. You demonstrated such a closeness to me and my principles, Kaviyochel, God is saying, that it's ani ve'ata. It's you and me, Moshe. So you see, this is not a punishment. So let's see it inside now. V'derech agav yesh lanu levaya. We have to explain Masha mevi ha-balaturim. This is the source of this that we know. The Balaturim brings divrei chazal asher mekoram bezohar kodesh. It's from our Kabbalistic work. Shalom nizkar shmo shel Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom v'parsha titzaveh. That Moshe's name is not in Parshas Titzaveh. Shekivan she'amar achar chet ha'egel, since he said, after the sin of the calf, kishabikesh kapara avur Klal Yisrael, when he demanded atonement and forgiveness for Klal Yisrael, macheni na misifrecha, wipe me out of your book. Nitkayem ha'davar b'parshasu. So even though he did forgive, Kodesh Baruch Hu did forgive Am Yisrael, but he had to fulfill this statement of a tzaddik has to be fulfilled. So at least one parsha, his name doesn't appear. Ulechura kasha, lefareish shakavana ulonish. It's hard to explain this, the removal of his name, as a punishment. Right? Ki hari bedvarim ha'elu masar Moshe Rabbeinu nafsho avur Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was really moser nefesh for Klal Yisrael by doing this. Ulevakesh licha avura, to ask for forgiveness. Ad Shamar, until to the point where he said, Im tisa chatatav v'im ayin machenina. Right? That's a really tremendous act of leader. This is real leadership. He's ready to take himself out of the Torah. V'lama yagilo knas v'onesh avuza. Why should he be given a punishment for this? So this is where he answers, Ach be'emet ha-parsha matchila v'ata tetzaveh. It's not a punishment at all. It's a reward. Va'ata tetzaveh, Amru Chazal, the rabbi say, ki haloshim ve'ata, and you, yesh lo vav hachibur. There's a vav there. Ve'ata. Meaning, uperusho hu ani ve'ata. It's me and you. We have an intimate relationship. A no name. We don't need names. Names, drop the names. That separates us. Shekaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu omer ani ve'ata biyachad. You and I are together. V'hine. Hashem shel ha'adam. The name of a person is his essence, right? You name a person, you know, we don't see it so much today. In the time of Chazal, the person really lived up to his name. And we can there are many statements in the Talmud where Rabbi Meir, for example, could identify what kind of a person he was based on what his name was. And isn't that what we do today? We name.
Kishmo Kenu.
We name a child in memory of someone. We hope that the child will develop the midot, the character traits and the qualities of the person who we name the child for. But that's what a name is. A name represents the essence of the person, his uniqueness, his individuality. But it separates him from everybody else. Ukumosha biyarni b'parshat Shmot. We spoke about this, he says. V'kan ne'mar lo tzivui ze b'lishem. And this is a no-name commandment here. Rak she'na'ase Moshe Rabbeinu Bateil ha-mikor v'ha-shorosh. What is he about to command here? About the oil. About the olive oil. The olive oil, it Kabbalistically represents the totality of all the names of Klal Yisrael. It's no accident that the word for oil is shemen. Shem nun. Nun is 50. Nun represents completeness, completion. Right? 50 steps of wisdom, 50 steps of Kedushah, right? So Shemen is the totality of what of all of Klal Yisrael, all of their names come together. So Moshe Rabbeinu demonstrated by this that he absorbed the totality of Torah. There was no curtain of a name dividing himself in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ki Hashem hu mahut ha'adam. Because the name represents the essence of man, his individuality. So if there's a name, there's a relationship with God. There's a relationship between people when you knew to use name. But if it's a no name, a more intimate relationship, no name. And here, because of the self-sacrifice Moshe Rabbeinu, shebitel et atzmiuto legamri. He nullified his self, he was totally self-effacing and selfless. Va'amar, and he said, v'imayim machenina, if you don't forgive them, take me out. I want to be written out of history. Zacha, because of that statement, he merited, not punishment, he merited, shemukushar legamri el makor, that he would be totally and intimately attached to the source, to God. V'lo yeshu mechitza mafsekit, nothing would separate him. Aflo mechitza shel shem, not even a name. V'ze shenemar, and that's the pshat in the pasuk, v'ata tetzaveh, ani v'ata, me and you, dveikut hachi na'ala, the highest level of intimacy and dveikus with the Kodesh Baruch. And this last paragraph on the left, is he quotes from the Chiddushei Arim the same kind of idea, ki misha moser nafsho al Torah, whoever gives his life, self-sacrifices himself for Torah, nase bedvarim etzem haTorah, becomes the Torah itself. He becomes, so there's no name anymore. Ve'ena miyuchasim l'shem, has nothing to do with his name. Ve'chein ha'inyan kan b'parsha titzav, that's what happened here. Shemoshe Rabbeinu nase etzem haTorah, Moshe became one with the Torah. So his name is not mentioned. You know, they say the Balei Musa. We talked a few weeks ago about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, founder of the Musar movement. The Balei Musa, it is said that they would wait 25 years before they would say over their own Torah. Because they wanted to be sure that, so people think, well, they wanted to be clear. No, they wanted to feel it, that it was part of them. That the Chidush, the nuance, the novel interpretation that they gave to the Torah, they wanted to feel that it was part of it, and they were part of it. So that, you know, that's a different kind of a persona, that we don't have people like that today. Okay? So that is the essence of this idea. It's a whole new approach from the Or Gedaliyahu of why his name is not mentioned. It certainly flies in the face of everything we've heard until now. And there's another way to interpret this. And some of the Kabbalists explain it this way, and Rav Kook discusses it. Again, it's this idea of Shemen being the totality of all the Jewish souls. In other words, before the world was created with the alphabet, right? That's our spiritual code is in the alphabet, right? So the name that an object has really reflects what it is. When Adam HaRishon, when Adam named everything, God asked him to name everything, he gave a name. It wasn't like a random, oh, I'm going to call this, you know, a zebra, I'm going to call this, you know, a tiger. But the name in Hebrew represents what that object is, what that animal is, what that chaya is. And there's such a concept as Adam Kadmon. That before creation there was an Adam Kadmon, a primordial man, which was made up of all the souls of the Jewish people. Excuse me. And the souls of each and every one of us was taken from that Adam Kadmon. So a person, let's say, who has an intellectual bent, so his soul came from the brain of the Adam Kadmon. A person who was a man of action came from the hand of a person, of the Adam Kadmon. The heel, what's the heel? So Rav Kook writes that the heel represents a person who has a longing to come to travel Aliyat Regel. That's all of us. To come to Eretz Yisrael, that our neshama, at least part of our neshama, a person's neshama, can be made up of different facets of the Adam Kadmon, this primordial man representing all of Klal Yisrael. But a person who has a desire, a chukat, to come to Eretz Yisrael, his soul emanates from the Akev. And that's why we refer to this era, Ikvita de Mashiach. Ikvita de Mashiach, the heel, we're on the heels of Mashiach. He's coming. And we're helping bring him here by coming here. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave that energy through Torah to Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu represents all of the neshamot of the Jewish people. So he wanted to remove himself so that Klal Yisrael could blossom without him. That's a kind of esoteric idea, and I just want to throw it out on the table so you can think about it. but the Orgel Dalia, I think, is something very special. Okay, let's move to number two. Number two is from the Sheni Shmuel. We've brought him many times in the past, the great Sachachova Rebbe from Poland. And he is now discussing something else which is unique in the Parsha. The Torah says, in after discussing the Big Day Kohuna, so now the Torah tells us, Zeh HaDavar, this is the thing, this is it. Asher Tasa Lehem, which you should do for them, L'Kadesh Otam L'Chaheli. This is the giving the Kedusha to the Kohanim. This is the dedication of the Kohanim in the Miluyim, dedication ceremony. Once in a lifetime moment was this dedication of the Kohanim. This is not something that was ever done again. So in this Parsha, it says, Zeh HaDavar. This is the thing. And that's what he's going to talk about. This is a unique phrase. And we'll see what the difference is. Zeh HaDavar she'tasa lehem l'kadesh otam l'chayim. Ha'u dichtiv. That's why we understand the Medrash. He's quoting a Medrash here. This pasuk is similar to another pasuk. La'olam Hashem la'davarcha nitzav b'shamayim. Your word stands in the heavens forever. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to ask the question, what does one pasuk have to do with the next pasuk? They seem to be going in different directions. One pasuk is, this is what you should do to dedicate the priests, the Kohanim, and the other pasuk says, the Navi, I think it's in Hosea, the prophet speaks about the fact that Hashem's word is always in heaven. So he says, Al tamar b'shamayim el kishamayim. Don't say b'shamayim, but like the heaven. Kishem shemitchila gazar v'nasu shamayim af davar shedibarta l'kadesh et aron v'et banav kayam l'olam. Just like the heavens, the sun and the moon and the stars and the heavens were created and put in place forever, kayam, they're eternal, so too this dedication of the Kohanim is eternal. He says, look at the Medrash, hukshalo, hello, what's going on here? The rabbis say, where's the eternal? This is a one-time investiture of the Kohanim. Why do you say that this one-time investiture of the Kohanim is eternal, is kayam, is chay v'kayam, like the Shemayim v'aretz? It's not true. So here's how he explains it. Kol ha'neviim, this is important. I'm sure you've noticed this, but we didn't let it penetrate. Kol ha'neviim nitnavu b'ko. All of the prophets, when they prophesy, they use the word ko. Ko amar Hashem. Thus saith Hashem, right? Mosif aleihem Moshe shenitnave b'ko u'bezeh davar. Moshe Rabbeinu prophesies, like all the other prophets, with the word ko. But there was something unique about Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy that all the other prophets didn't have. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to say with a certainty, Zeh HaDavar, when he transmitted, not only Kol, thus saith God, but Zeh HaDavar, this is the thing. So what is the difference? So Biur HaGur Aryeh, the Maral explains in his Pirush and Chumash, Shezeh HaDavar, hi nevuat HaTorah shehi nitzchit. Whenever the word Zeh HaDavar is used, it's netzach, it's eternal, it's forever. Avol b'loshen ko, but ko, hu nevuah l'shata. It's a temporary nevuah, it's for the times, right? It doesn't necessarily apply to all times. And you see that when you study Nach. You study Nach, you see that many of the things that the Nevi'im are saying, they're speaking to their generation. It's ko, we don't paskin halachas from what a Navi says. But what from Moshe we paskin halachot based on his prophecy, but we have a problem. If Zeh HaDavar bespeaks eternal values, and Ko does not, what is eternal about heaven and earth? We know is forever. But what's eternal about this dedication? Im kein mitzvat miluim she'enena noheget ledorot. It's not an eternal thing handed down from generation to generation. Ela mitzvah l'shaita. It's a one-time investiture. Eich k'tiv b'zeh HaDavar. What's pshat zeh HaDavar? So he brings now al-kein, pirush ha-medrash, shelo al-karbanot. It's not talking about the sacrifices, right? The dedication was they had to bring special sacrifices, a whole service, a whole avodah to dedicate. No, we're not talking about the ceremony of the investiture. Ela al kedushat Aaron shekayemet la'olam. It's the sanctity of Kohuna that is eternal and that is handed down and transmitted genetically from father to son. V'zeh shemisayim l'kach nemar zeh adavar. So what's the zeh adavar? He says, zeh adavar is the eternality of the priesthood of Kohuna. But now, he wants to take it a step further. He says, not only that, not only that. V'hinei od sham v'medrash, the Medrash says something else. V'zeh adavar ahu diktiv kechu imachem dvarim. The Navi says, take with you words. The Navi is talking about taking the words of Torah into our lives. Right? And that's what it says, erchatz b'nikayon kapai, lishmo or lashmia b'kol toda. Right? I internalize the words of the Torah, and I allow them to sing, right? With thanksgiving to God through these words. Amarle, dvorim ani mevakesh. I want you to learn Torah. I want you to know, be knowledgeable of Torah, the prophet is saying. Shenemar kachu imachem dvarim. Veshuv al Hashem. If you learn Torah, if Torah is a part of your life, the Navi says, if Torah is a part of our life, we will return to Hashem. We will stay on the straight and narrow. V'ani mochel al kol avonoteichem, and I'll forgive you of all your sins. V'ein dvarim ela divrei Torah. Dvarim, words, when we say words, it's the words of Torah. Amrulo, so the Jewish people responded, ein anu yodim, we don't know how to learn. We don't know Torah. So what does the Rabban Shalom answer through the Navi? Amar lehem, b'chu b'chu v'hipalalu lefanai. So cry a little bit and pray a little bit. Va'ani mekabel, and I'll accept your tshuva. So he says, Eino muvan, ma shayach zeh l'inyan ha'parsha. The Medrash is explaining this on zeh adavar. What does this idea of studying Torah and davening to Hashem have to do with this notion of v'zeh adavar, the eternality of anything that zeh adavar is eternal? So the Medrash wants to say that Torah and tefillah are eternal. Now we know that's true. Yesh lefaresh, let me explain, nami shebo letareitz hadikdu kanal. This is exactly what is coming. The Medrash is coming to say. Shemitzvah shehi l'shaita, lo yitzdak bo loshem zeh adavar. A temporary, momentary, time-oriented mitzvah does not have the introduction of zeh adavar. Al pi pirish de mitzvot im kein, pirish de mitzvot chinuch hu l'olam. What is he talking about? What is he hinting here to? That when the Kohanim had to change, it was a life-changing moment to become a Kohen. To be dedicated into the service of Hashem was a life-changing experience. And it required chinuch. Chinuch, not to in the simple understanding of education, but the process to begin anew. That's what chinuch is. That's what education is, right? We raise and we elevate our children and ourselves going from one level to the next, that's what tshuva is. But it's not like someone, Rav Hutner once said, tshuva, I'll say it in Yiddish and then I'll translate it, tshuva is nicht besser werden. Tshuva is anders werden. Tshuva doesn't mean you become a better person, you become a different person. So that's the process of chinuch, to change ourselves, to begin anew. And that is the zeh adavar of the Kohanim. That's the deeper message of this investiture of the Kohanim, these people, these holy people who changed themselves into Kohanim. It was the chinuch, that's the zeh adavar that we're given over. And he quotes here, he says, Hainu dinei kfar amarnu b'shem HaRebi HaKadosh, HaRebi Rebbe Bunim, the Rebbe Rebbe Bunim. He's quoting one of the great Hasidic masters. De tshuva einenu telai. Tshuva is not patchwork. You know, you put some patches, your pants are torn, your sweater's torn, you put some patches on the garment, right? That's not tshuva. Elika adam shenofel min hagag. He says, you know what it is, tshuva? Like a person, Rachman al-Tzan, falls from a roof, v'nishtabru kol atzmatav, and his whole bones, his whole body is shattered. U'pirshu de tshuva einenu kemo tlai abegit, shenishar al abegit. It's not patches, right? Kemo harishon. Ela shenas en tukan. This person is put back together again. You know, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, Humpty Dumpty, right? That it's putting yourself together into creating a new person. That was the chinuch, that was the investiture of the Kohanim. That is what bring the, when the Navi Hoshea says, Kechuim achem dvarim, bring Torah, learn Torah, and if not, daven, have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to change yourself. Utshuve enenuke, eleyeke katan shenolad, like a newborn child. Umatchil mechadash, and you begin again. V'hayabim harishonim yipalu. And the you know, our years of yaldut, our childishness disappears. Haynu hachshamar kemisha nafal al agag, min agag, shenishtab rekol atmotav, v'lo nishar lo klu. V'al kein mitzvah tshuva hi shahatchil legamri mechadash, right? Im kein, just going a little quickly here, mitzvah tshuva shehi lahatchil mechadash, tshuva is beginning anew. This is through the, that's the process of chinuch. We learn this out from the chinuch of Aaron la'avodat ha'kohuna. His nirmezah b'loshen zeh ha'davar, zeh ha'davar. Shari zeh no'ed lo'olam. This is an eternal concept. This is what changes ourselves and changes the world. Is our ability to change ourselves changes the world. And that's the concept here which is eternal. The ability of the eternal Jewish soul to renew himself. Okay? Beautiful idea. Okay, over the page, I want to do a Vilna Gaon, where he talks about one of the Bigdei Kohuna, which is mentioned in the Parsha. You have the ephod, right? There was an apron, there was a choshen, a breastplate, and on this ephod choshen was a thing called the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim, it's a difference of opinion what the Urim V'Tumim were, but at certain points, for the need of the future of Klal Yisrael, should they go to war or not, if the answer would be, the question would be put forth to the Urim V'Tumim, and an answer would come out from the Urim V'Tumim. Now there's a difference of opinion amongst the early rabbis whether it was the names of the tribes themselves, and the letters would be bolate, the letters would, you'd ask, should we go to war or not? So the word is Cain, or Lech L'Milchama, so it would come out, those letters would come out from the names of the tribes that are there, like word jumble, right? The other opinion is that it wasn't the word, the Urim V'Tumim was not the names, but there was a kind of, there was a Shem Hashem, a special name of God, which was like a microchip that was put into the folds of the ephod of the Choshen. And that is what made the determination. All of this came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the question had to come from the Kohen Gadol via the Melech. So let's see something. Now, there's a famous moment in Tanakh where this was used. And it's the story of Chana. Remember the story of Chana when she was barren and she came to plead her case at Davin, and Eli the Kohen Gadol saw her davening and she was moving her lips. She looked like she was drunk. As far as he didn't hear anything. So he consulted the Urim V'Tumim, and he said she was a, right, shikura, she was a drunk. Now we'll get to that, okay? We're going to do this, this is the explanation of the Vilna Gaon, and it's an ingenious, not that he needs our haskama, but let's go through this. Bir HaRamban, so here's the pasuk, V'natata al-choshen ha-mishpat, you should place on the breastplate, et ha-urim v'hatumim, the Urim V'Tumim. V'hayu alev Aharon kevo lifnei Hashem. And this will be on Aaron's heart when he comes in to do the service in the Beit HaMikdash. Bir HaRamban. The Nachmanides, the Ramban explains, Inyan HaUrim V'Tumim. Shayu Sham Shemot HaKadoshim. There are holy names there. V'hem Shayu Me'irim Divrei. I mean, that's, it would come out from there. V'haya HaKohen Mechavein. Ach L'Tzarei Fa'otiyot. And the Kohen would concentrate and the words would come together. The Kohen had to put the words in the proper order, the letters in proper order through Ruach HaKodesh. But sometimes the Kohen was only human. He had made a mistake. And that's what we're going to get to. Ki haita efsharut l'tzaref ha'otiyot ba'ofanim shonim. You can, you know how word jumbo goes, if you ever do that puzzle in the newspaper. You can do it many, many different variations, right? La'avdil. L'dugma, he says, Kasher sha'alu mi'al alanu b'tchilu li'lachem im haknani. L'shoftim, who should go first, the head of the army? V'yatzua ha'otiyot Yehuda ya'ale. So the words came up, Yehuda ya'ale. Yehuda should go first. Right? The yud come from Levi, the hey from Yehuda, the dalet from Dan. and v'chein kula, etc., etc. Hayta yichol tzaref ha'otiyot al kavana acher. You could go with that. V'rak al yidei hashpat ruach hakodesh. It's only via the heavenly spirit. Yada l'tzaref ha'otiyot ketikunam. He knew how to put the letters together properly. V'zui madregat mi madregat ruach hakodesh. That madrega mi madregat ruach hakodesh. This is a level of divine inspiration. Lemata minanavu. This is lower than prophecy. Ulamayla mi batkol. It's higher than batkol. You know, he's just giving. We don't have to do all of this. Okay. Next paragraph. Ve'efshar she'acharei shenatan Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom hashemot b'choshen. After Moshe put the names on the breastplate, hayuno de'im b'mesorat mimenu l'gdolei chachmei Yisrael. He gave over this mesorah, this tradition, for future generations. Ulaficha hayu bidei David. Ephod, Shahayat Biyadi Aviatar. David HaMelech had an Ephod. Venira Shahayat Shabbat, and it was made of Bad. Vikasher Nemar Bishmul, Nar Chagor Ephod Bad. So it existed. Vyil Bishuo Tarkohain, Shum Ibnea Nevi'im, Vishalimbo, Vinanim Lefam. You see moments in Tanakh where this Urim Vitumim existed and was used. Vihine, Eitzel Chana, let's go to Chana now, who came. Was barren and came to pray for a child, and Eli heard her sort of mumbling to herself. V'ta'an Chana v'tomer lo Adoni isha keshet ruach isha keshet ruach anochi v'yayin v'shechar lo shatiti. So she answered, "I'm a drunk." She says, "You are not lo Adoni. No, you can translate, no, my master, no, sir. Isha keshet ruach. I am a woman of spirit." And I never touched anything that would make me drunk. So that's one way of reading the verse, right? She spoke to him with lo Adoni. She's referring to him with respect, but we're going to see a different interpretation. Pirush Rashi, Betfusin Yishanim. There's a Rashi in Tanakh brings Hayakatuv Zaloshin lo Adoni Keshera or Kisara v'hamad pisim ha'achronim hishmitu et amila Keshera or Kisara. It was taken out. Va'ani matzati b'tfusi yashan, and I found in an old edition, shahaya mukaf tevat k'sheira b'subraya. The word k'sheira or k'sara was put in brackets. V'shamati bi'aldutai, and I heard in my youth, b'pi Abba Mor from my father, sheshama b'shem hagra bir niflaz. This unbelievable interpretation of the Vilna Gaon on this. Let's see it. Ida b'gemara al-mikrazeh. What does the Gemara say in this pasuk? Lo adoni, no sir. No, she didn't say that. She says, Lo Adoni, you are not my master. You have demonstrated, as the Kohen Gadol, that you have made a serious mistake in interpreting the Urim Metumim. But Lo Adoni, you are not my Adon in holiness. Lo Adon Ata B'davar Zeh, in this thing. V'lo Ruach HaKodesh Shor Alecha, and you don't have Ruach HaKodesh. Sha'ata Chushdani B'davar Zeh, that you were choshen me. You thought, suspected me as being a drunkard. Some say, this is what she said to him. Lo Adonata, you're not my master. Love Ika Shechina V'ruach HaKodesh Gabeh. You do not have the Shechina, the divine presence. Shedantani L'kaf Chova, V'lo Dantani L'chaf Zuchut. And you didn't judge me properly, right? The Tamua, this is difficult to understand. V'chidavka Mishish Hashchina shara alav v'yesh lo ruach hakodesh tzarach ladun l'chaf zchut. Maybe this is what he saw. V'makavona shekiven sheyesh lo ruach hakodesh v'ashchina shara alav. And if the understanding is correct that he had divine inspiration, hay lo ladat sheyeinena shikura. He should have known she was not a shikur. Now bear in mind that we daven today. Many of the things that the laws of tefillah today come from Chana. That we're supposed to daven the Shemoneh Esrei in a whisper. But you are supposed to hear yourself. You are supposed to hear yourself daven. We learn this from Chana, right? Which is an amazing concept in itself, because women are obligated to daven, but not as much as the man's obligation. Women are exempt. For example, women don't have daven mara, let's say. And they don't have to daven every day. They have to say at least Shema Yisrael, Matovu to be Yotze, the din of tefillah, right? But that why? So why do we learn from Chana? Because our tefillah should really be as if we didn't really have to do it. We want to do it, right? But here, let's continue inside here. So what's going on? Rak Isha Keshet Ruach. וכי הנביאים צריכים לדעת הכל, הנביאים have to know everything? הלא יהושע אמר בחטא העגל, כל מלחמה במחנך. He knew there was a war going on. It was kind of a mistake that he made this statement. וכן אמרינו במסכת שבת, in our oral tradition, שאמר משה לפיקודי החיל במלחמת מדיין, שמא חזרתם לקלקולכם הראשון. לקלקולכם הראשון. So you see that there is a smack. Not for the Vilna Gaon, we couldn't say these things. But let's go to the next paragraph. V'hine b'medrash Shmuel Rabati, the Medrash says, Ita Kesara, what did she say? Lo Adonata. Kesara. I am like Sarah, not Shera. Kesara, Rivka, Rachel. V'hakavana, what did she mean? Shegam hein hayu akarot. They also were barren. V'tit palalu al banim, and they davened for children. Aval gam al divrei ha-medrash kai. So you hear, it's a beautiful shot. The medrash is saying a beautiful idea, very poetic. She said, Kesara, she said to him. Lo Adonata, you're not my master. Kesara, I'm like Sarah. I'm barren, I'm trying to daven. He says, this is beautiful. But he says, gam al divrei ha-medrash kasher, lamet tzarech l'mashel kesara rivka v'rachel. What's going on? V'yesh lomar, so here now is what the Gaon says. Yesh lomar al pi divrei ha-rabban. Based on how the Ramban understands the Urim V'Tumim, the jumbo of the letters, V'nira d'ma sha'amru chazal, the rabbis say, She'en ni sha'alin el melech ulemisha atzibur tzarecho. Only the king or the leader of Klal Yisrael has a right to ask, and the answer only comes to them. Hu rak b'Urim V'Tumim shal ha'kohen ha'gadol. It was only the Urim V'Tumim of the Kohen ha'gadol. Aval be'efot bad hayu sholim kol mi sheyada shemot. But when it was on, now without the Choshen, the time of Eli, only using the linen ephod, even he could ask, right? When he saw Chana, she medaberet al libo, that she was mumbling, actually, you know, she was davening. V'rak sifteanot, only her lips were moving. V'kola lo yishma, you couldn't hear her voice. Until now he thought she was from the righteous women. He was in shock. What's going on? So he went to the Urim V'Tumim. And he asked the Urim V'Tumim. The words of Hey, the letters Hey, Chaf, Shin, and Reish came out. She's kosher. Hechsher. Right? But he did it wrong. Instead of Heksher, that she was Kisara or Kishera, he said Shikura. Lechem katuv vayichashveha aeli l'shikura. Vayomer la ad matai mishtakrim chasiri et yeinech me'alayim. Right? Unbelievable. So she answered, v'anta lochana, lo adoni. You're not my lo adonata b'davarazeh. You are not my master in this episode. V'lo ruach hakodesh yigabech. And you don't have the proper amount of ruach hakodesh. L'tzareif ha'otiyot, to put the words together, the letters together. Kohoratam ha'amitihim, according to their true understanding. Kitzirufam ha'amitihi kishera. The word heksher, the letters heksher have to be worded kishera. She is a kasher woman, a holy woman. Kelomar shani isha keshet ruach hakara. I am a proper woman who's barren. Hamid palelet al banim, who's davening for children. Kesara imenu, like Sarah. Again, kaf shin or sin resh a, as the Medrash says. Imkein lamedam tani lekaf chova. Why did you suspect me and say that I'm guilty of this? Litzarefa otiot lomar shahoratam shikura. Velo dantani, you didn't judge me lekaf schut, into the side of merit. Shoratamu kshera, that would be kshera or kisara. Kalomar shania kara, ubemendr shosifu yoter biru kshera kisara. The Medrash says kisara rivka rachel. It's a beautiful shot, the Vilna Gaon. Okay, next week in Yitz Hashem, we'll see everybody, same time, same station.